Tumblr is very good. It's a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
On Tumblr. Just great content. Just lots of great content.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
Yeah, don't stop.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I live on the edge when it comes to these yellow lights in the city.
No reason not to.
Yeah.
Barely any law here as it is.
Yeah. Watching cops pull up behind people that are double parked and just, like, wait their turn to edge around them and keep going. Like, the fuck are we doing? At least fucking, like, glare at them as you drive by. Something.
Shake a nightstick. Something.
Yeah. Beat these people up. They're the ones that need it. Eventful day.
Yes.
Was not expecting to spend that much of it on the street.
Yeah. The surprise fire alarm right as you guys were starting the call-in show was perfect in a way.
Yeah. Frustrating.
Yeah.
I like doing that show. The after show was real fun.
But, you know, at least you got to put up, like, a sort of avant-garde art piece of an empty room with sirens in the background.
Yeah. I call it America. : the Oval Office.
And we got to play HQ live during the podcast.
Yeah.
It just seemed like the right thing to do. Song still fucking bangs.
This is still a good song.
Yeah. I have no real feelings about anything else Young Black Teenagers put out, but this song is great.
Yeah. The song they did about Kelly Bundy, not so good.
Yeah.
Novel at the time. What the fuck are we doing here?
They live
we
here now.
We
want
to turn around.
They want to live
that's
here now.
That's what this... Oh, this is like... Oh, yeah. Just fucking... Oh. Yeah, block
you
me more.
Fucking asshole.
Fucking shitbag. Pull you out of that BMW and give you what for.
Give you a proper drubbing.
Mm-hmm. Fisticuffs. That sign just says best food. That, I doubt it.
They can't say that unless it's true.
Oh. I mean, the same sign also says Western Union.
I mean, they could have a Western Union and best food. That is possible.
Huh? You want to wire some money while eating the best fucking food?
We never go home this way, so it's weird seeing all the strip clubs actually lit up at night.
Yeah.
But the normal way was blocked by a million assholes. skipping down the sidewalk of this tunnel.
That's just the fumes talking. Spend enough time in the tunnel, you're going to start skipping, flipping out, going, doing whatever.
Nah, man, skipping's going to be huge. Skipping's the next thing.
Skipping's the new walking?
Yes. It's that nice gray area between walking and running.
All right, I'm in.
This is literally just a bit from L.A. Story.
Yep.
There's a whole bit where John Lithgow is telling fucking Steve Martin skipping is the new walking.
Yeah, no, I know.
Oh, okay, good. As far as I knew, only I and Scott Neff were the ones that were obsessed with that movie, so I never assume anyone else remembers anything from it.
I think about it every time I have to be involved in coffee ordering.
Sure. I think about it anytime I try on pants.
Mm-hmm. It's a weird movie.
It is. It's probably my favorite Steve Martin movie. It's like that and The Man with Two Brains.
I'm trying to think. What Steve Martin movies have I seen? And it's a pretty fucking short list.
You've seen The Jerk, right?
Yeah. Like, I don't know that I have any real affinity for it.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a good movie.
Sorry. Yeah.
But yeah, like, I'm not big on, like, Roxanne or any shit like that, you know?
Yeah.
Not my thing.
I guess I've seen Roxanne. I guess now that I think about it.
Yeah.
Right. Roxanne. But I... Yeah, I don't like that.
Now, Bowfinger, that's a movie.
Yeah. It's a movie you can believe in. I mean, you know, like, Three Amigos is a good movie.
Sure.
It's not, I mean...
It's not, strictly speaking, a Steve Martin movie.
Yeah.
Is Bowfinger the last good Eddie Murphy movie?
No, Metro was the last good Eddie Murphy movie.
But Bowfinger came out after.
Exactly.
Oh, come on.
No, I don't know. I have no real feelings on Bowfinger. But yeah, probably.
All right.
I mean, unless you count his dramatic work.
I didn't like Dreamgirls that much.
I don't think I saw it. So. Just holding out for Beverly Hills Cop 4.
Yes.
Figure that's got to be right around the corner, man.
I mean, at some point, they're just going to fucking cast someone else, right? Like, they're not just going to keep giving Eddie
Murphy. Well, didn't they do a TV show? And he was on the pilot? And it's his son?
Did that happen, or was that just something they were talking about doing?
Boy. I feel like that's something that aired on Fox. You would have to look it up. I don't know.
Okay, I don't remember anything about that.
I feel like it was something that happened, and I was not interested.
Right.
Because why would you be? But maybe that didn't actually air. I don't know.
Meanwhile, there's a Lethal Weapon series that now has multiple fucking seasons.
Take it over a Lethal Weapon movie at this point.
I mean, yes. But also, I watched one episode of that show and it was just abhorrent. Why. Not that I was expecting anything different, I needed to know.
Yeah. I think there's still a MacGyver on the air, isn't there?
I don't know if that's still on or not. I don't remember seeing any ads for that recently.
They used to have signs up for it, like posters up for it around the office.
Yeah. They haven't changed any of the posters in our office in, like, 4 years. Mm. So it's multiple shows that I don't think are actually on anymore.
I still have that Letterman poster. Still sitting on that.
It's gonna, you know, only appreciate in value.
No one has come asking about it.
They don't care.
I think we're okay.
Yeah, I don't think they give a shit. Trading Places is not the last good Eddie Murphy movie, but it is probably the best Eddie Murphy movie. I say that as someone that likes many different Eddie Murphy movies, but I think that is the best one.
I might have to go with Beverly Hills Cop, though.
I love Cop. Cop's great. Cop is like top 3, easy.
Yeah. And, like, I really like 48 Hours, but I'm not going to... Hey, yeah, that's a cool move there that almost got you killed.
Yeah.
Scooter driver.
I think 48 Hours is more interesting as, like, kind of a novelty now.
Oh, yeah. That movie is not aged super well.
No. And also, just it's kind of fascinating to see Nick Nolte, like, at his most high-functioning level.
At his most ambulatory.
Yeah.
Another 48 Hours. Not bad.
Eh.
On account of it's kind of the same movie.
Yeah. No, they do a good job of making the same movie again.
I mean, to be fair, it says it right in the name.
Yep.
I like The Golden Child. I like Coming to America. But yeah, I guess it's either Trading Places or Beverly Hills Cop 1.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never loved Coming to America. Just, like, there are parts of that movie I like, but I've just never loved it the way some people do.
It's weird in a, you know, it's weird in a way that, like, the Clumps or whatever it was.
Right.
Like, The Nutty Professor, you know, where it's like, oh, we're all playing all these different roles, and it's kind of, like, we're kind of just doing stuff. Like, the A plot line in Coming to America is like, not interesting.
Yes.
You know? It's all the fucking hijinks around it.
And, like, The Golden Child is a mess.
Yeah.
But it is, at times, a delightful one.
I love it, but it's not a great movie.
No. You can understand why it kind of bombed.
I mean, shit, man, I like Cop 3, so... I'm fucking...
You're the only person I know who ever says that.
I'm broken.
It's like Cop 2. Yeah, I can defend Cop 2.
That's
Cop
how much
good.
I want Beverly Hills Cop. Is that I'm like, yeah, okay. This is more of that. Not at all the same. Not to the same level of quality.
Yeah.
In fact, a significantly reduced level of quality in a lot of ways. But he gets that weird boombox bazooka net thing, and the Easy E song comes out of it at that one point, and Ellis DeWald is in it, you know, like, that whole scene, like, there's stuff in Beverly Hills Cop 3.
You were also the one who used to tell me that Metro is the actual Beverly Hills Cop 3.
That was more Brendan.
Okay.
Would stick to that.
But, okay.
But also, yeah, kinda. I mean, Metro's alright. I remember Metro being alright, is actually how I should phrase that.
Metro is not great, but it probably did not deserve the level of panning that it got.
Yeah.
All I remember about Metro, really, is that he had a fucking pickup truck and was driving around San Francisco in a pickup truck.
Yeah, right. Yep. Wait, his son get kidnapped or something?
A lot of that movie is sort of a haze.
I don't know. I'm going to watch Metro again.
All right.
I'm going to
take that
upon myself. And
as an American.
Seek that out. And
there are times when I almost maybe think I like Cop 2 better than Cop 1.
Yeah, I would hear an argument for it.
The thing I like about it is that it doesn't concern itself as much with the whole Axel isn't supposed to be doing shit, so he's constantly, like, fucking dodging trouble from, like, his superiors and also the Beverly Hills Police Department and trying to win over the fucking Judge Reinhold and the other guy.
Yeah,
like,
that, you're right.
It gets around that stuff and just can just be them fucking being stupid.
Yeah.
I like that stuff in the first movie.
Horse track scene. Like, Beverly Hills Cop 2 is great.
And just like Brigitte Nielsen being as fucking severe as possible.
Yep. It's a lot more fun.
Yeah.
The first one is more gritty and concerned with the fate of Michael Tandino.
Yep. I don't know, I also really like the level of friendship displayed in two. Like, they're all out for fucking to avenge their fucking fallen comrade, Ronnie Cox.
That's right. It's very relatable.
Yeah. Yeah, milk.
Yeah.
Listening to this, this is the fucking Apple Music playlist, right?
Yeah.
Listening to this is just reminding me very much of being in the car with Glenn.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, the better parts of, right. of being in the car with yeah. Glenn, the parts where Bare Naked Ladies is not playing. Ugh.
Band's still together, aren't they?
Yeah, probably.
God. Yeah, this... So, I mean, every Tuesday there's a new, like, Here Are Your Favorites playlist, and... Like, so far, they've all been pretty different.
Right.
But, and so it's trying to assemble, like, genre similarities and stuff, where it'll be like, oh, here's, like, 12 hip-hop tracks from this era or whatever. Like,
right.
Sometimes it'll be like, here's all this electro shit you listen to, you dumb shit. And I'm like, yeah! Here's all that French touch you can't get enough of, motherfucker. And I'm like, word! Let's bring back Blog House.
Yes. Yes, let's. Understood what these giant fans are supposed to be doing.
I imagine it's like blowing exhaust fumes out or something, like keeping
airflow.
So it
doesn't collect.
Yeah.
I can see that. Why don't I see that in like other tunnels?
Because these tunnels were built relatively recently.
Yeah. So it's just new tunnel tech.
Maybe. That's my guess. I've had a lot of nights to consider that exact thing.
Right.
And that's the best I got.
All right. I'll believe it.
If anyone in the chat has any thoughts on why there would be like big fans, like plane propeller looking, turbine looking fans
in the ceiling of a tunnel.
Yeah. Like blowing sideways, not in the roof of it or
yeah.
anything.
Yeah, I guess it is to push car fumes out of there.
Yeah.
And I guess also for some temperature control issues. Mm. The thing is, though, these tunnels are, like, very short.
Yeah, they don't seem like they would be, that they would have that issue.
Yeah, it's not an underground tunnel. It's a tunnel that sort of, like, goes through a hill or something and just sort of, like,
it's
yeah.
It's maybe, like, 30 car lengths.
Yeah.
If that.
But yeah, I could totally see that being a temperature thing in, like, you know, an actual underground tunnel that went for a while, but these are very small. roof did not stop the explosion in daylight. No fan could stop that.
No. Definitely not.
Daylight is a bad movie.
At the end of the day, I don't think I'm much of a Sylvester Stallone fan.
I am a fan of several Sylvester Stallone movies. For instance, Demolition Man.
Yes.
For instance, Cobra.
Cobra, a great movie. The best.
Yes.
I think First Blood and First Blood Part 2 are pretty good.
Yeah.
But it's been a while since I've seen First Blood Part 2. But I've never been a Rocky fan.
I mean, I think the original Rocky is a great movie. I think Rocky IV is one of the best pieces of Cold War propaganda the U.S. has ever produced.
Yeah, it's...
But also, yeah, I don't have, like, the deep love of the whole series the way, like, Dan and other people I know do.
Yeah. Trying to think of, like, other Stallone movies.
The first Expendables is still alright.
I never saw any of those.
The first one's still pretty good.
Hmm.
Not really for anything specifically related to Stallone, more just the larger ensemble cast, yeah. But that movie's alright.
Are the Transporter movies any good?
I think the first one has a certain spirit to it that is alright. I don't think any of the other ones... I mean, they're all kind of, like, manic and weird and... I don't know, there's maybe something to them, but, like, what I've seen of the other ones, I did not really care for.
Did you ever see, Hardcore Henry?
No. I know you saw that in the theater.
Yeah.
No, I have never seen Hardcore Henry.
I still don't know anyone else that has seen it. I've been unable to speak to anyone about it in a real way. Ever.
I feel like I remember when that movie came out, a few friends of mine going and seeing that as, like, a dumb joke.
It's a... Yeah.
And not really liking it.
No, I mean, it's a fucking thing, man. I would say that I enjoyed myself.
All right. You were entertained.
Sure.
Everything about it seemed very much like a VR demo.
Yep.
And also a thing guaranteed to make people sick if they ever tried to watch that in VR.
Yeah, that would probably be real bad. That'd probably be real bad.
Mm-hmm. All right. Which King of Fighters character?
Like, kind of a Roachy, Yori kind of...
Oh, okay.
Like, electric, kind of floating, just blood Yori. Yeah, some kind of Omega Rugal fucking fucked up weird thing. Yeah, he's just a... Yeah. He just looks like a fucking SNK fighting game character.
All right. Going on until Tuesdays.
Yeah. Oh, Twin Peaks?
Yeah, I only have like 4 episodes left of season 2.
That's kind of what I wanted to do before.
I'd never seen season two before. I'd only ever seen the first one.
Yeah.
It's a mess, but I don't think it's quite as bad as people make it out to be.
Right. I mean, I liked Firewalk With Me. Yeah. So,
like, apart from the part where they just do an extended yellow face bit in that season, and the god-awful James storyline, like, I think most of the stupid shit that happens in that season is fine. Like, I'm totally pro fucking Nadine going back to high school and joining the wrestling team. Like, none of that shit makes any fucking sense, but I don't care.
Yeah, my wife watched the third season as it was airing, and
I'm excited to check it out.
Yeah, I talked to her all through it and had her tell me about it and so on, and fuck. I want to watch it now.
Yeah.
Before, I was like, I should see this, but I don't know. And then hearing about how it tells its tale.
Yeah.
At some point, I'm like, that's something I need to see for myself. It sounds like some magnificent fucking bullshit.
It sounds very much like David Lynch kind of getting the last of what he needs to get out of that series out. Like, purging in a very severe way. Which I'm kind of into.
Yeah. I feel like there were some implications or some talk that maybe they might make more.
Yeah, I mean, this one did really well.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone was really expecting that. This is on Showtime and, an old series. But, like, I think the critical acclaim brought a bunch of people in. Also, like,
it's a spectacle.
You could, and I think you could sign up for, like, a Showtime trial through Amazon, so a bunch of people got to it that way. But yeah, I'm like 4 episodes from being done with season 2 that I need to watch Firewalk With Me again. And then I'll probably start on the season 3.
Yeah.
I remember liking Firewalk With Me despite not really knowing a whole lot about what the hell was going on in that movie when I was younger.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen it since not long after it came out.
I don't know that Toka Tuesday is on tonight. Or if it does, maybe it doesn't start till 7 or something like that. But...
well, that's soon.
Yeah.
So this,
and they're playing Eminem on Eminem station. You know, it's just.
I saw Above the Law on there. I was like, wait, this is not Above the Law.
It's not Above the Law. Yeah, like there's stuff. Yeah. I won't say anything else about it, but...
yeah.
But...
I mean, I know a little bit. Yeah. Like, I follow multiple critics who were, like, talking in some detail about what was going on.
Like, it's remarkable, like, the stuff that they decide to come back to in this season.
Right.
The stuff they decide to very directly reference and where that stuff comes from in the Twin Peaks, like, lore or whatever. The stuff they decide to, like, focus in on and, like, close the loop on just is fucking mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Because it's stuff that you think about it, like, I guess I don't know how I would make a follow-up to that season. Like, they've got their whole seeds planted, but, like, they planted the seeds, the number of seeds they go back to.
Right.
And which ones they choose. It's just fascinating.
David Lynch is a thing that, like, when I was much younger, I actively hated. Like, I just did not understand anything he was doing. I did not find his movies particularly interesting. I just thought they were kind of masturbatory and unpleasant to watch.
Mm.
And that has been the thing that, as I get older, I have started to learn to appreciate more. Mm. I think it was Wild at Heart. I finally sat down and watched Wild at Heart, and maybe it was just the Nicolas Cage connection that finally started to get me to pay attention, but, like, I don't know. I fucking love that movie.
Yeah.
And... then I kind of went back and I started to watch, like, Mulholland Drive and some other stuff. And I was just like, you know, maybe I was just being dumb or just being willfully unwilling to sort of, like, try and open up to what any of this dumb shit actually means. Like, I don't think he's unimpeachable or anything, but, like, I've come to appreciate the ways in which he tries to tell very strange and interesting stories.
Yeah. There's a video on YouTube of him making quinoa that I highly recommend.
I should look that up. I will look that up when I get home.
Yeah. His documentary came out like last year, this year. David Lynch, The Art Life, that I've been meaning to watch. That is just, sounds like it's just a bunch of interviews with David Lynch talking about David Lynch.
That's fine.
And I'm like, that's something I would like to know more about. Even if it is going to always be filtered through whatever the fuck he's got going on. But I, yeah, that it's on YouTube.
I need to finally watch Inland Empire. I've never actually seen that one.
Mm. But it's a solid video of David Lynch making quinoa.
As someone who actually likes quinoa now, that sounds interesting.
Quinoa's fine. No issues. I don't know. I sometimes, like, I don't know. I guess maybe I'm just not enough of a fan of film.
Well, you're definitely not, because you don't generally like movies that much.
Yeah, and like, what I do see, I like fine.
Yeah.
But also, like, I don't necessarily go too deep, or, you know, sometimes larger meaning is lost on me.
Right.
Because I'm not paying close enough attention to TV and movies and stuff like that. So when they get back around to their big point or whatever, when they finally, you know, wrap up their thing, or, you know, these allegorical fucking crazy tales, like, sometimes I just don't, I'm not, sometimes I don't put it all together.
Yeah.
Because I'm usually just not paying close enough attention to it, or giving it enough of myself.
Yeah. Like, that was very much my issue with Mulholland Drive, is that movie is so much symbolism and like, you know, shot composition and just sort of, like, peeling back layers. And when I was, like, I don't know, what, 17 when that movie came out?
Yeah.
I was not in a headspace to even want to do that.
Of course. Yeah. Why would you be? And when I think about how I am with movies,
right,
it's a lot easier for me to understand how someone might, like, for example, not like Near.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that thing has, if you treat that thing solely as just an action game.
Yeah.
Like,
if you're going in and just, like, just taking the face value of it all and then walking away from it, you're going to walk away going, like, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, there's something there, yeah. I guess. Because, yeah, it's functional in that way, but, like, that's not really what the appeal is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing I always say, is, like, I don't begrudge anyone not digging that game. Like, if you aren't interested in the themes that game is exploring, then there's nothing there for you.
Yo, I'm tired of y'all. Like, for as much as, like, the early popular 50 Cent stuff was kind of a time and place thing that didn't age especially well and maybe wasn't all that great to begin with. Listening to anything past that first album, or like the, you know, like a very small smattering of tracks afterwards, it's like, fucking what?
Yeah.
Like, I listen to shit like this, and it's like, why did anyone ever like 50 Cent?
I've been asking that question all along. I ever since fucking In the Club, fucking all that early shit, I was just like, this guy's delivery's not interesting. Like, some of his lyrics are, but, like, not enough for me to care about. And I don't even think the production's that interesting. It was just all very boring.
Well, I feel like the whole thing was a marketing campaign.
It was.
And it was very well marketed, and it had the right names behind it. You're like, oh, wow, this was Eminem and Dr. Dre. This guy seems like the ultimate super gangster. He's been shot. Wait, how many times have he been shot? That's a lot of times.
And it's like, I don't begrudge them pushing that angle to sort of like, you know, to kind of broaden his appeal, I guess. But like, just as an artist, he's never been interesting.
The only thing that was interesting about him was the way he talked shit so directly. Like the mixtape stuff.
Yeah.
Like what 50 Cent and the G-Unit did for the mixtape game in that time frame, in the time period, was like kind of revolutionary. But that stuff, like even the stuff that I like at the time was like, oh yeah, this is all right. Like, all aged incredibly poorly.
Yeah.
And makes him come off as like a fucking petty, like shitty weird bully. I'm just like, what? You see it for the desperate maneuver it is.
Yeah.
Of like, I've got to get people talking about me. Who can I talk shit about?
Right. Yeah, it's that same shit you were talking about, like with the fucking manufactured rivalries of like, you know, MMA.
Right.
People like,
yeah,
fucking.
Yeah.
Hype up, you know, how much they really hate each other and then just end up fucking hugging each other in the end, you know? It's like, it's all just there to try and sell a fucking persona.
Right, yeah. It's like the same desperate fucking, like, sad, weak stuff.
Yeah.
You see rolling out the White House.
Yep.
It's like the exact mentality.
Gotta talk shit so people like, oh, talk about us.
I gotta. Ja Rule, I don't like him. Yeah. Fat Joe, fuck that guy. Yeah. Yeah, this is Soul Assassins Radio.
Alright.
This is not Tokyo Tuesday. Yeah, Soul Assassins Radio.
Right away right now, but it's that Cam'ron.
Issue right here.
Oh, it's that Cam'ron.
Oh, that Cam'ron. Like, Cam'ron and Mace, like, started releasing diss records, like, recent. Like,
who the fuck does Mace have to diss?
Cam'ron.
Who? Why?
Apparently they're just not cool with each other anymore. I assume that's what this is. I thought I read that last night, that was something that was happening.
I out and out refuse. I refuse to acknowledge the possibility that Mace needs to be talked about in 2017.
Sonny.
Mm-hmm.
And Cam'ron, who I'd never liked. I would take Mace.
I guess
a thousand times.
I just don't really have any opinions about Cam'ron one way or the other. I never listened to enough of him to formulate one.
Mm-hmm. Shaggy, that's an artist everyone can agree on.
Yes. Greatest of all time.
Yes. He is boombastic. We agree. Going on in the chat?
No, not much. People talking about Mesa Cameron and the Tyrese rock drama.
Yeah.
DSHS says the best thing Cameron ever did was buy that pink fur coat.
Yep. Pretty much.
Ice Cube and Fast and Furious, says David Burns.
Yes. Sure. What would you have him... He's like a mechanic for the crew. He's like a home base guy.
He should just play his character from the Triple X movie.
Okay, that works too.
No acknowledgement that Vin Diesel
right.
was ever Triple X, but Ice Cube's Triple X is in that series now.
What was it? It's like he has a Darius... something.
I don't remember.
Desolation Jones.
Yeah. Yeah, he just played Desolation Jones.
Desolation Williams?
It was Desolation Williams, yeah. I think that. It was Desolation was the name. I tell you, I went and saw John Carpenter play live recently.
How was that?
It was pretty alright.
Did he play the songs from the movies?
Yeah, most of them.
Mostly?
Yeah. He didn't do Ghosts of Mars, but he did most of the ones he would want.
What if I only want Ghosts of Mars?
Well, then you wanted a different show.
Starting a cover band. John Carpenter cover band, but we only play Ghosts of Mars.
I don't remember what the soundtrack to Ghosts of Mars sounded like. Yeah, no, he's an old man with a keyboard, and he's got a band, and the, like, scenes from the movies play while he's playing.
That's fucking weird.
Yeah. I think his son is the other keyboardist.
Okay.
Cody.
Cody Carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great name. These are great names.
Yes.
I feel like it should have known I'm like disappointed with who Mark Wahlberg turned out to be.
I don't think I was ever invested in him enough to really be disappointed. Like, I love Boogie Nights.
Yeah.
But part of the reason why I love him in Boogie Nights is that he's the perfect dumbass blank slate in that movie.
Yeah. I think I wanted to think that that was, like, a masterful thing that he was doing. And yeah. Not just happenstance.
Yeah, I think it was more happenstance.
But also, like, I like the Big Hit.
Yeah, Big Hit's all right. The Other Guys is a pretty good movie. There are some good Mark Wahlberg movies. Yeah. But, you know, lots of good movies with good actors. Those actors are also kind of scumbags.
Yeah. I feel like I'm the idiot on that one, though, for believing
yeah, that's
at
fair.
Any point. Like, oh, maybe he'll be like this, like self-aware, like actually genuinely kind of funny guy, trying to get his thing.
Nope.
He'll understand his thing the way it is to be actually understood. No, at all.
No,
not in the least.
That said, he definitely would have stopped 9/11 if he'd been on that plane.
Oh, yeah. Everyone knows that. That's mm-hmm. just fucking...
That's just true.
Common sense. Am I thinking of the wrong fucking movie? He's in Three Kings, right? I'm not making that up. Yeah, fuck.
Yeah, it's him, it's George Clooney, it's Spike Jones.
It's Ice Cube.
Yeah.
I was like, I could name all four of those guys. And I was like, well, wait, why would they call it Three Kings if there's four of them? Hang on. Maybe I'm misremembering something about this. It's been a long time since I've seen Three Kings.
I think it's Three Kings because Spike Jones dies.
Yeah, yes.
Three Kings is the only David O. Russell movie I will, like, defend staunchly. Because David O. Russell is also a huge fucking asshole.
Mm.
But Three Kings is a great movie. Maybe in spite of him, I don't know,
yeah.
But it is a great movie.
I just remember on one of the bonus features on the DVD of Ice Cube, fucking say, hit me right here. Holding his hands up like this, like, hit me right here, I'll sell your movie. Focus in tight on me. Hit me right here. And I'll sell you.
Like, was that Ice Cube's first movie?
No.
Friday was before that.
Boys in the Hood was before that.
That's right. Yes.
A long, storied film career.
Yeah.
Dangerous ground.
When Ice Cube's good, Ice Cube is actually good.
Higher Learning. Ice Cube is really good. At a lot of things.
Tomorrow's Destiny developer live stream has been canceled.
Yeah, I heard. That's,
can't imagine why.
That's grim. I would feel a lot more strongly about that stuff if leveling in that game meant anything that meaningful.
Right.
Like, it still comes off as skeevy, untoward, whatever you want to call it. But...
yeah, I mean, the difference is that we are not invested in that grind. on a regular basis, the way that I imagine players that are going to the lengths of uncovering these things are.
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm just like, why, what's to grind? There's nothing left. There's nothing to grind for.
To get better loot?
You don't need... No,
better
but there's
guns?
You don't need to...
You need to get all the good guns and all the good armor for every character class. That's what you have to do.
Don't do that to yourself. That game's not... is not worth it.
Yeah.
It's not worthy of that level of devotion.
It's a better game than Destiny 1 and also kind of a nightmare in its own way.
Yeah. I like Destiny 2, but I definitely would not look to that game for something that I would play.
Yeah, that's not my forever game. It never will be.
Yeah, exactly. It's not. It's not that game.
Death Metalist wants to know if y'all are talking over the PlayStation experience this year.
No.
When is that?
They're not doing a keynote.
Oh,
it's okay. Like a Friday. Like they're having some kind of thing the night before or something.
Okay.
That doesn't sound like a big deal. I don't know. That thing sounds incredibly slight compared to even previous years where it was not necessarily an E3 sized thing. I could be wrong, but that thing doesn't... It sounds like that they have not.
It kind of felt like they got a lot of those announcements and things they would want to do, like, out during that last...
The Paris thing.
The Paris thing, yeah.
Yeah, it seems like they gutted PSX. We'll see. I don't know. But, I've enjoyed that keynote. I like the way they presented it. It's the way they should have kept doing E3.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're doing that anymore. That way. I briefly considered going down there to hang out and see some folks, but I just don't think the timing makes sense.
Jorge Gordon asking about the EA stock news.
I saw people talking about it, but I didn't see what it said. Did it tank?
It went down. I guess someone's saying they lost like $3 billion in fucking valuation or something. But like, I saw someone else saying that like the number they're at right now is where they were in July.
Yeah.
Like it may have gone up a bunch during like that period, but like
they've been on an upward trend for some time now. So.
Yeah.
So losing 6 months of progress is substantial.
Yeah, but it also doesn't sound like it's maybe the fucking apocalyptic thing that some people are making it out to be.
I mean, if anything, I think that at some point that's like, oh, maybe you should buy some EA stock and fucking sell it as soon as it goes back up. Because that sounds like something that would bounce. But what the fuck do I know about stocks? But yeah, that's what happens when financial reporting starts looking into the game.
Right.
Looking into the Battlefront stuff. As soon as you had that CNN money story hitting, talking about the Belgium news and talking about there being a fervor around the money end of that thing, that's the result. I was mostly, I had no sense of, like, would that actually impact the stock dramatically or not.
Yeah. Well, especially considering, like, sales numbers for that game haven't really come out yet, have
right.
they?
Right, yeah, it hasn't been on shelves long enough for them to really have much. I mean, you'll have analysts that do, like, channel checks and are looking to see how many copies are moving. I will say it feels like on the heels of the Thanksgiving shopping season starting and that sort of stuff, like, I definitely saw a lot of reporting, and maybe it's like people self-selecting a little bit, but I was out and about a little bit and saw some of it myself of like, boy, there sure are a lot of copies of Battlefront here and not a lot of other stuff.
Right.
Boy, they sure seem to have a lot of Battlefront, like PS4 hardware bundles here, but none of the other SKUs.
Hmm.
But, you know, like, if they went in anticipating numbers, like, the way the previous game had them and not expecting this trouble, then they would have produced a quantity banking on that. And it wouldn't be a surprise that word of mouth traveled far enough to tank that.
Yeah.
I hear the guy who does the gaming minute for CBS Radio leaned into that game for multiple weeks.
Well, once you lose him, I mean, what's left?
Yeah, right. The real reason behind the Destiny cancellation is. Or I guess I wonder if the content of that stream was not likely, was like likely to be poorly received.
Right.
Or if like Activision PR was more just like, hey, we like everything is so sensitive around this stuff right now, we need to kind of not say anything.
We just need to not be out there.
Until we get our shit straight.
Yeah.
Like, let's not be out there in the middle of, like, the fucking heinous shit that is going around right now. I could see them very much being like, no, lock it down, butt it up. Like, let's get this thing out there and then fucking talk about it then. Like, we can't. Like, the EA stuff is too fucking hot for us to be out there, like, even adjacent to this shit. No matter what we're saying. I wonder. Because the way they built that stream, it was very much like, we're going to talk about the systems, they're going to talk about the economy, we're going to talk about how weapon engrams are earned, and how that is changing, and what we're changing about these systems, and what we're changing about, you know.
I wonder if maybe also that stuff is still so fluid right now that they actually can't fucking confirm any of
well,
that stuff.
That thing's out, like, next week. It has to be.
I mean, if they're making substantial changes on the back end, like...
Well, maybe it was all terrible. Maybe it was all leaning into this stuff in a more dramatic way that now they're fucking unfucking. Yeah, I don't know. Everything feels very precarious around that stuff. Like, I don't know how to feel about it. Like, on one hand, I'm like, yeah, no, that's consumers taking back the fucking power. And that's neat because I wouldn't have thought it possible to do in this way. Given how, like, internet shitstorms tend to be received by the business world.
That's the thing, is that everything is so extremely online now, you know?
Right. And
there was a time when you could totally just dismiss that shit as like, eh, cranks on the internet or whatever. It's like, no, everyone's a crank on the internet now.
Yeah.
To varying degrees.
Yeah, I guess so. In a sense, it's invigorating because it kind of makes you question what's actually possible.
Right.
In terms of just, like, things that probably need to change around monetization around games. Like, you look at it and you go, like, all right, you know, stuff is this way for a reason, and people are buying it. You know, Activision sold so many fucking millions of dollars of, if not billion? Probably millions, probably.
Yeah.
Of fucking Overwatch loot boxes. And generally, people were fucking stoked to buy those boxes. And, yeah. But man, this seems... At the same time... short-term scary for, I'm sure, a lot of developers out there, especially smaller ones that are trying to figure out how to make a cool thing and still make money on it.
Yeah. But, you know, I also think these are the kinds of things that, like, need to get sussed out. Like, we now live in this era where, you know, that level of fucking audience engagement is just the norm. You know, so the thing that's going to have to get sorted is, like, well, how much of this are we going to adhere to versus how much are we just going to fucking wave away because it's just so vitriolic and so fucking over the top.
Yeah, like, as a publisher, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember, when shit first started getting bad out there, some years ago, like asking or, you know, talking to people at big publishers about that shit, and them just being like, no, this doesn't affect like the vitriolic nature of all this fucking shit, ethics in game. No, none of that. We are not thinking about that stuff at all.
Yeah.
Only smaller publishers and developers and stuff like that, people that were paying attention to the larger conversation that we're hearing about that. The big public companies are off being big public companies. They only have to care if it hits their bottom line, which now it has.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that it has actually started to hit sales in a way that fucking has to, it makes them react.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, it's easy to think about, like, the image. Like, remember when was it like Modern Warfare 2 was coming out on the PC and it didn't have dedicated servers, and people are, we're boycotting. There was a Steam group called like Boycott This Game,
right?
And on launch day, everyone was still playing it. And you just think about that and go like, yeah, no, that's like. That's what it is, baby. Like, everyone says that they're fucking down for this cause, but when push comes to shove, there are a lot of people that just want to play the video games, and...
You see who's real and who's not.
I guess so, yeah, so... I guess enough people said, like, nah, we're real about this one. And now it's a... Now it's a big thing.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Alright, well, we're here.
Yep.
So, that's gonna do it for tonight.
See y'all in the morning, I guess.
Yeah. See ya.